Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I want to do a little review. Last week we looked at President Erdogan of Turkey making the claim that Jerusalem is ours, that is, Turkey's, versus who does it really belong to? And of course we looked at who Jerusalem really belongs to, and it's certainly not Turkey. It is Israel, and God has given Jerusalem to Israel. And also, we looked at some comments from Arno Fruza from his Midnight Call Prophecy, Biblical Prophecy site, and response that he gave to Erdogan concerning some of those comments, provocative comments that Erdogan has been making these days. And Arno quoted Jeremiah 31:36, and the fact that the ordinances of the sun, the moon, and the sky, as long as those are there, that God has placed there, Jerusalem will belong, and Israel will belong to Israel, as God has said. I didn't take the time to quote the verse, but you can check it out and go in the archive last week, and hear some of the comments from there. Now, so much for our quick review. Got a lot of information to cover, so that's why I do make a very quick review. Now, Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6. I want to read those verses from the Word for Today Study Bible. This is a King James Version. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma, from the far north, and all its troops. Many people are with you. Now, a lot of those names, you know, of course, to the average person living in the 21st century would be like, huh? Who are these people? What do these names mean? Well, a great deal of research has gone into studying these passages over the years, and many scholars have been able to come to pretty strong conclusions as to who the modern-day counterparts of these people are that lived 2,500 years ago or so. And so we want to go into some into some more detail as we look at some of these nations which God predicted in the last days would be part of this invading army which exists today and are really preparing themselves for this, I believe, setting the stage for this somewhere down the road. So a further comment from the study Bible. This is not the Battle of Armageddon, as some have suggested. The participants are different. This is a battle that will take place in the last days, probably either right before the tribulation period or at the beginning of the tribulation. And, you know, the Battle of Armageddon, for instance, the kings of the East will be involved, no doubt China and many of the other Asian nations, as well as many other nations that are not going to be involved in this battle, which will come before it. So I think that's important to see that. Now, I've referred many times to a little booklet, and I keep referring to it because I recommend it to you. It's a wonderful little witnessing tool filled with 101 last days prophecies. And so it's a nice, simple way of sharing some of these prophetic truths with people. So I like to reference it from time to time. But beyond what I share from this little booklet, I'll also be going into more detail from some other books. Russia's allies. This is, of course, we just mentioned Russia. And from this little booklet, we read Russia. Magog, prince of Rosh, is another term for Russia, of course, and others. Russia, Magog, would rise as a military power and lead an attack on Israel, Ezekiel 38. Today, most of the southern states of the former Soviet Union are both military powerhouses and Muslim. And they've been referred to as the Stan countries, you know, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, you know, the Stan countries. There's several here, and I'll go into more detail later of some of those names rather than butcher them now. And this just in, you know, this is fascinating. This is an article. It's the author unknown, but this is from October 27, 2020. The title of the article, it's from the Daily Sabah. I don't know if I mentioned that. Turkish Uzbek defense ministers signed military agreement, underlined further defense cooperation. The defense ministers of Turkey and Uzbekistan on Tuesday signed a military agreement and underlined their will to further cooperate in the fields of military defense and security. Following visits to Pakistan and Kazakhstan in the past days, Defense Minister Hulusi Akar on Tuesday arrived at Uzbekistan and met with his counterpart, Kurbanov, in the capital, Tashkent. Underlying friendly ties with Uzbekistan, Akar stated that though slowdowns are witnessed from time to time, Turkey put a high emphasis on bilateral relations. He further stressed that both countries enjoyed a strategic partnership based on strong brotherly ties. And isn't that interesting? Mark Hitchcock, in his book, 101 Answers to End Time Questions, what he refers to as the Islamic republics of the former Soviet Union, or the ancient Scythians, are part of Magog. And, you know, I really believe that when this man says that their relationship with Turkey is based on strong brotherly ties, I think that's not only their religion of Islam, but I think they are related, even though they were in the Russian USSR. Anyway, those nations are near one another over there, and they have a lot in common there. It says, we make efforts to enhance relations in every field. This includes trade, economic, social, political, and, of course, military relations. We have made significant progress, Akar stated. Kurbanov, for his part, said it is important for us to further military defense and security cooperation. Following a delegation meeting, the two defense ministers signed a military cooperation agreement. Whoa. Akar also met with Uzbekistan's National Security Advisor Mamudov during his visit and stated the necessity to continue cooperation in military training and the defense industry. He also emphasized cooperation in the fight against a Gulenist terror group. Okay. So, again, we will go into more detail here, but these are Islamic republics that are being referenced here. Very fascinating. Now, again, back to that little booklet, as they mentioned some of the other players here, and this is briefly before we go into more detail. Iran or Persia, Sudan, which, of course, in the word for today's study Bible, used the term Ethiopia. They are synonymous terms, Ethiopia, modern-day Sudan. Of course, there's a Ethiopia today as well. But in the Bible times, the modern-day Sudan is the equivalent of Ethiopia. And Kush is another name as well. And Libya would also partake in this attack. Anti-Semitism in the Islamic world is rampant. Now, Turkey, Gomer, and that's only one of the names for Turkey, the ancient Turkey, because of the territory that they covered, and in the passages that I quoted from in Ezekiel 38 there, 1 through 6, Gomer would also join in the attack on Israel. In 2002, Turkey elected a pro-Islamic party to govern the country. And, of course, in 2005, Hitler's anti-Semitic manifesto, Mein Kampf, became a bestseller in Turkey. And then, of course, we've seen since Erdogan has gone into power how everything has gone south with Turkey, and they've gone from being actually friendly with Israel to really an enemy of Israel. Now, I want to go into further detail. Very fascinating. This is really from the book After the Empire by Mark Hitchcock, a prophecy scholar. And in he's written many books, by the way, very good books on Bible prophecy. And page 37 and 38, I have gleaned from those pages some more details about this invading army, especially those pertaining to the Stan countries and Russia. So let's look at what he has to say here. The Prince of Rosh. The ancient Sarmatians, who were known as Rashu, Rasapu, Ras, and Rus, are the people Ezekiel called Rosh in Ezekiel 38:2. The Sarmatians originally inhabited the land around the Caspian Sea, which is territory inhabited by 8 of the former Soviet republics: Armenia, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and the one that's the most difficult for me to pronounce, Kyrgyzstan. I did really well. I saved that one for last. Okay. 6 of these former republics are Muslim nations. Meshech and Tubal. At every point in the history of Meshech and Tubal, these two nations occupied territory in the modern nation of Turkey. To ascribe any other location to them is totally inconsistent with the clear facts of ancient history. And now Gomer. Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, identified the people of Galatia with Gomer. He says that the people the Greeks called the Galatians were the Gomerites. The Galatians, of course, lived in an area that today is in the west central part of Turkey. Imagine that. And then Beth Togarma is always associated with a city or district within the boundaries of the modern nation of Turkey. And then finally, Persia, the modern nation of Iran, is ancient Persia. The name Persia, which was written all over the pages of ancient history, was changed to Iran in foreign usage in March 1935. So, to me, very fascinating stuff, very, very interesting information. Now, I want to take a little more detailed look at another one of the fine books by Mark Hitchcock, and this is called The Amazing Claims of Bible Prophecy. So we're going to hunker down here. This is through pages 208 to 216, and look at some of this fascinating information that has been provided for us by this author based on Scripture. This actually book was written in 2010, and page 208, the purpose of this invasion in Ezekiel 38. Why the attack? Both the human and divine purpose for the invasion are given. The invading force will have 4 main goals. Number 1, to acquire more territory. That's in verse 8. To amass wealth, verse 12. To destroy the people of Israel, verses 10 and 16. And the divine purpose in allowing this invasion is expressed in Ezekiel 38:14 through 16, which we'll look at later, or we will look at some other verses along that line later. Through the attack, God will be sanctified in the eyes of the nations. The product of this, what is the product of this? I would say utter destruction. When the invading forces come into Israel, there will be no stopping them. They will be bent on war and destruction. And the attack will look like the biggest mismatch in history. It will make the Arab invasions of Israel in 1967 and 1973 pale by comparison. The Bible says that God will come to the rescue of his people. Almighty God will intervene to win the battle. Ezekiel 38 and 39 describes what we might call the one-day war, or even the one-hour war, or when Gog meets God, because God will quickly and completely annihilate the Islamic invaders from the face of the earth by supernatural means, which to me really seems like this will probably really help open the door to the one world religion, since Islam is a big chunk of religion. And I don't think people will be signing up to be Muslims after Allah has been so swiftly defeated, you know, as we read in these verses. I think Islam would always be in an impediment to a one-world religion. So I think this will be a key part of that coming one-world religion that the Antichrist will be using, as we read about in the book of Revelation and other parts of prophetic scripture. Here's how Ezekiel graphically describes what will take place. It will come about on that day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger, in my zeal, and in my blazing wrath. I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down, the steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. With pestilence and with blood I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain on him and on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, a torrential rain, with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. Now, I want to just take a moment to read a little more scripture that encourages my heart, because through Jesus Christ, I belong to the God of the universe, the Creator, the Almighty God. And I would just like for you to hear a little bit more of what God Himself says about His view of the rebellious nations who are in anarchy against Him. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 15, the first part of that verse. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Listen to this, folks. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Just remember that in these last days, in these fearful, evil, perilous times. And verse 17 of the same chapter, God Almighty says, all nations before him are as nothing. Well, imagine that. I guess if you were Almighty God, that would pretty much be the case, considering the fact you created the whole universe, the vast universe. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Now that does not take away the reality that he loves you if you don't know him. He loves you if you do know him. But if you don't know him, you can come to know him. And I say that because I'm talking a lot about the judgment of God here and the almighty power of God. But he loved us enough to send Christ to die in our place so that we do not have to be destroyed, as many will be at the end of times as we see it in these last days. All right, now getting back to Mr. Hitchcock's text here. He says, God will mount up in his fury to destroy these godless invaders. He will come to rescue his helpless people using four means to totally destroy the Russian and Islamic allies. A great earthquake, verses 19 through 20. According to Jesus, the coming tribulation will witness many terrible earthquakes. God will use this specific earthquake to conquer and confuse these invaders. Infighting, number two, infighting among the troops of the various nations, verse 21. In the chaos after the powerful earthquake, the armies of each of the invading nations will turn against each other. The troops from these nations will speak Russian, Farsi, which is Persian, Arabic, and Turkic languages. They will probably begin to kill anyone whom they cannot identify. This could end up in the largest case of death by friendly fire in human history, or I might say unfriendly fire. Disease. Gog and his troops will experience a horrible, lethal plague that will add to the misery and devastation already inflicted. Four, torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and burning sulfur. In verse 22, also. Just as God sent fire and brimstone to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he will pour fire from heaven on the invading armies. These nations will boldly sweep down on Israel to take her land, but the only land they will claim will be their burial plots. Ezekiel 39:12. You can check these references for yourself. They will set out to bury Israel, but God will bury them. The prophetic significance. How? The final question to consider is how the world stage today is being set for the fulfillment of this incredible prophecy. What key developments toward today point toward this invasion? What recent or current events correspond with the details of Ezekiel's prophecy? There are six that are noteworthy. First, Israel possesses the mountains of Israel. First, according to Ezekiel 39:2-4, Israel must possess the mountains of Israel when this invasion occurs. God tells the future invaders, I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. I strike your bow from your left hand and dash down your arrows from your right hand. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the people who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. The famous Six-Day War in Israel in 1967 helped set the stage for this to be fulfilled. Before the Six-Day War, all the mountains of Israel, with the exception of a small strip of westward Jerusalem, were in the hands of the Jordanian Arabs. Also, since 1967, have the mountains of Israel been in Israel, thus setting the stage for the fulfillment of this prophecy. And the Golan Heights come to my mind, too. I think it was during the Yom Kippur War where they captured the Golan Heights. I believe it was from Syria as they tried to invade Israel. Now, the rise of Russia is the second thing we want to look at, event. One of the most significant international developments over the past 50 years, one that is a necessary prerequisite for this invasion, is the remarkable rise of Russia to a place of world prominence. Russia has a vital interest in the Middle East and Persian Gulf, both of which are in her geographic neighborhood. Some control over these areas is vital to Russia's national security. Moreover, since the fall of the Soviet Empire, the great Russian bear has been like a mother bear robbed of her cubs. The fall of her empire brought national humiliation. Russia seems to long for the good old days of the USSR. The Russian president is looking more and more like a modern-day czar. For Russia, an invasion of Israel with the help of an Islamic coalition would provide an opportunity to reclaim lost glory and assert control over the Middle East. Number three, the place of radical Islam. The rise of pandemic Islamic fundamentalism with its virulent anti-Semitism and hatred of the restored Jewish state provides a powerful motivation for this invasion. While Islam is and always has been a religion of violence and terror, the modern rise of the Islamic terrorist state began in early 1979 in Iran when the Shah was ousted by Khomeini. Iran has since exported this terror movement to neighboring Islamic nations. Of course, Ezekiel does not mention Islam or terrorism as a driving force behind this invasion because Islam did not even come into existence until the 7th century AD. However, all the geographical areas other than Russia that Ezekiel identified as participants in this invasion are controlled by identifiable Islamic nations: Central Asia, Libya, Sudan, Iran, and Turkey. This sets the stage for the final jihad into Israel as depicted by Ezekiel. The Islamic allies will see the Gog and Magog invasion as an opportunity to destroy Israel. All right. The next one, number four, the increase of Iran's role. Persia, or Iran, is a key player on the world scene today, as required by Ezekiel 38:5. Clearly, Iran is currently public enemy number one in the West and in Israel. As home to radical jihadists and a supporter of terrorist groups around the world, Iran cannot be allowed to possess nuclear weapons. Iran's mullah regime is driven by an apocalyptic, genocidal ideology that believes the hidden or 12th Imam will return to earth in a time of great war and bloodshed, and they will hasten the coming by taking care of the great Satan, the United States, and the little Satan, Israel. They aren't content to sit back and peacefully wait for his coming. They are doing all they can to put out the welcome mat and hasten the arrival of the Mahdi, of this false Messiah that they're looking for. And yet we have Biden saying that he would go back to the Iran nuclear deal. I mean, we are living truly in a lunatic fringe time, both of the Muslim mullahs and the Democrats in Washington. Iran is developing close ties with all the nations listed in Ezekiel 38, especially Russia. Iran's stunning rise over the past 30 years fits well with the expectations prophesied in Ezekiel 38. And now Turkey's move away from the West is the fifth thing we need to look at. For the Battle of Gog and Magog to occur, Turkey must join the coalition of nations against Israel. For years, this seemed highly unlikely because Turkey has made every attempt to become part of the European Union since 1999. Turkey looked like the proverbial fly in the ointment for the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38. However, it now appears certain that the EU will reject, and remember, this book was written in 2010, they have rejected Turkey's bid for admission to the EU. That certainly appears to be the case. The new EU president has made it clear in the past that he imposes the inclusion of Turkey in the EU, and current trends in Turkey appear to be moving the nation away from Europe back toward Russia and Islamic nations. Also, Turkey is currently developing stronger economic and military ties with Central Asian nations, ancient Magog, which we've talked about, the Stan countries. And Turkey's move away from the West in Israel is making news. World Magazine carried an article titled "Switching Sides: Turkey's Embrace of Extremist Neighbors Signals a New Regional Calculus." The article said a major shift has taken place in the geopolitics of the Middle East. Turkey, a strategic ally of the West and Israel, and the only Muslim country in the region that, with a secular government besides fractured Iraq, has effectively signaled that it's leaving its Western friends and reorienting itself eastward. And then Newsweek also noted Turkey's move away from Israel and the West. An article titled "Triumph of the Turks" says what scares Washington most is the suspicion that Ankara's new attitude may be driven less by the practical pursuit of Turkey's national interest than by thinly concealed Islamist theology. Turkey has scrapped a decade-old deal allowing Israel's Air Force to train over Turkish territory. And I remember when I went to Israel and Turkey, reading in the local papers, or in the International Herald Tribune anyway, of how they used to be friends and they cooperated together. And those times are long gone. I'm running out of time to finish. I will actually need to finish this article next week with you, I believe. But fascinating times we're living in. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, why not? Receive Christ. Make your peace with God while you still have time. God bless you all. Good night.